Welcome to the Conceive Baby podcast. My name's Tasha Jennings, fertility naturopath and nutritionist. In each episode, I share with you my best fertility tips and introduce you to world-leading fertility experts to help you improve your fertility well-being to create your healthy pregnancy. Welcome to today's episode of the Conceive Baby podcast. I'm fertility naturopath and nutritionist Tasha Jennings. And today I'm talking about a topic which I'm particularly passionate about and something I believe is really fundamental to setting the foundations for a healthy conception and a healthy pregnancy. And when done right, can really help to avoid a lengthy fertility journey. Now, before we dive into today's topic, if you haven't already downloaded my free fertility checklist, be sure to take a moment to grab your free copy at tashajennings.com.au/checklist, filled with simple swaps and recipes to help you improve your chances of conceiving and carrying your healthy baby. Now, once you've done that, keep listening as today we're talking about preconception testing. So which tests should you be getting? What about your partner? Getting the right tests can help identify and address any issues early on so you can really set you up on the right path to a healthy pregnancy. Now, I find a good GP plays a really important role in this process, and I love working with GPs to help facilitate their testing needs for my patient. And to help me with that and to talk about this topic, today's guest is the lovely Ellie Hodgkins. Ellie is a GP in Sydney with a special interest in women's health and fertility and pediatrics. Ellie has lived the experience of infertility and conceived her twins through IVF. After realizing the challenge of parenting doesn't stop with conception, she has recently become accredited in neuroprotective developmental care, also known as the POSSMs programs. This evidence-based parenting program aims to protect healthy brain development for infants, as well as supporting parents during this very challenging time. So Ellie is really passionate about helping parents from their preconception journey right the way through to neonatal and beyond. So welcome, Ellie.
Thank you so much, Tasha. Thanks so much for having me. Very excited.
Now, I know you have a great understanding of this journey from your own. And yes. Obviously you now, have a special interest in women's health and fertility and pediatrics. Where did that stem from?
So I think it all started when I was doing my general practice training. And you do just tend to see a lot more females and children being a female GP. And so that prompted me to undergo some additional training with Family Planning New South Wales in fertility and sexual health, and also pediatrics as well. So I did that additional training, but also it wasn't really until after I completed my general practice training and in 2017 and I started trying for my own children that really sparked my interest in infertility because of my own fertility challenges. And that was very eye-opening for me. And so I can really empathize with couples who are having difficulty conceiving, because I can just remember very clearly how all-consuming and unbelievably stressful that time was. So I'm really happy and feel very privileged to be able to be involved in that journey and try and, make it a little bit easier for some couples.
Yeah, it is such a challenge, isn't it? I think once you've been through that, I felt the same. And yeah, I feel, lucky now to have my two children. And I think it really makes you want to pay it forward and use your learnings to help other people, because you know how hard this struggle is.
Exactly.
So to help people today, I know a lot of people will jump straight to the fertility specialist. I think that's where they need to go. When should someone speak to their GP in their fertility journey? If they're, what stage would you speak to a GP?
So I think the take-home message should really just be anytime before you start trying is great, and it's never too soon, you know. But in an ideal world, I think 3 to 6 months beforehand would be great, and ideally even before you stop your contraception.
Yeah.
And there are many times when you can start the discussion with your GP. So if you're going to see your GP for contraception, for example, you could ask your GP, you know, how long would I expect my normal cycle to return once I stop this contraception, because it varies for all the different types. So, you know, 50% of pregnancies in Australia are unplanned. We know that. So don't freak out if you haven't had a preconception health check, but I'd really love it if all patients did go and see their GP for a long appointment, because there is a lot to get through for a comprehensive, you know, discussion, health check, and also tests as well.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think people should start whilst you're on preconception. I always say, well, to be on the pill, start your prenatal, start your preconception care.
Yeah.
So that you're ready and really ready when it comes to the time, and having that discussion with a good GP like yourself. So I would say, do your investigation, do your homework, and find someone who understands, like Ellie does, about the preconception testing and about the fertility journey, who can really help to facilitate your journey and ease the journey into pregnancy and beyond.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's for mum and dad. Both partners ideally should come to see the GP.
Yeah.
I think that's really important point to take home as well.
Yeah, and getting there early. So it doesn't need to be when you've just started trying and having trouble. I think the important message I like to get across to people is you don't need to wait till then. I love seeing people come to me saying, oh, is it too early? I'm just thinking about trying in 6 months. I'm like, yes, wish everyone thought ahead. So make that appointment with your GP, who can talk you through, I guess, what a first appointment coming into you as a GP, what would that look like?
Okay, so there's a lot to talk about. Sometimes, you know, you even have to have more than one consult for this. So generally, we'd like to assess your general health. So do you have any pre-existing conditions that we need to optimize before you fall pregnant? For some people who have significant chronic illnesses, we might even refer them to a maternal fetal medicine specialist. So they're an obstetrician that has additional training in managing complex medical conditions and assessing the health of mum and bub. So we want to have just a general chat about your health, women's health check as well. So seeing when your last pap smear was, and doing that ideally beforehand. Discussing your mental health is really important. A lot of antidepressants can be continued whilst you're pregnant. And speaking of medications, we also want to do a review of your medications, because not all medications are safe during pregnancy. So do we need to change anything? And also discussing over-the-counter or herbal supplements as well, because as you know, not everything that's over-the-counter is safe. And then also we would recommend taking a folate and iodine supplement, ideally 3 months before you start trying as well. And even if you're not trying but you're not on contraception, take a folate iodine supplement. And then obviously we'll do blood tests as well, and discuss vaccinations depending on the results of those blood tests. And then also we would like to have a big discussion about lifestyle, which plays a huge part in optimizing the health of your fertility for starters. And then once you fall pregnant, optimizing your the health of your pregnancy and the health of your future baby. And that's obviously should be mother and father, because we know sperm health plays just a bigger role in the health of the baby. So talking about, you know, alcohol intake, exercise, we know moderate intensity, regular exercise is really good for both partners. Looking at your weight, we know if you're extremely like underweight or overweight, that can affect fertility and also pregnancy outcomes. And then other drugs, diet, like, you know, it's a lot to cover.
Yep.
So, and then what foods are unsafe in pregnancy, giving you, there's lots of resources. So you don't have to like, you know, remember it all. There's lots of really fantastic resources like Mother Safe for medications and over the counter things. And then there's like great resources for food safety and things like that as well.
Yeah.
And then you probably could go do a whole podcast as well on all the like safety of like, what is it, BPA?
Oh, the toxins and the BPA. Yeah. Yes. Phthalates, BPAs.
So, and you know, like occupational exposures. I mean,
yeah,
you could really just go on forever.
Yeah.
But I think trying to get the main things and then, you know, but the point is there is a lot that can be optimized to really ensure that you have a really healthy body for your baby to grow and develop in.
Absolutely. Safely. It makes, in my opinion, this is preconception care is the best investment, I think, in your child's future health that you can make. Because
exactly.
You're passing on the best DNA to your future child, and you only have one chance to do that. Obviously, we can nourish it during the pregnancy, but it's somewhat set in stone when you've passed that on. So it's in these, as you're saying, sort of these 3 months, 3 to 6 month period when the egg and sperm are developing, that you can really help to optimize this. Now, talking about the testing, what sort of testing do you look for? Because I know, look, some GPs don't do many testing at all if there's no symptoms, which I understand. But I think for preconception, I know there's some standard ones that you like to see, and I know I like to see in my patients, that we just want to make sure everything as a baseline is okay for you. So what should, if people are going to see their GP, what would they expect to be getting tested?
So the routine bloods that are done for everyone, it would normally be a full blood count, checking for anemia. And then we'd also like to check varicella or chickenpox and rubella immunity.
Yep.
And that's really important. Well, ideally done prior to falling pregnant, because if you do require a vaccination because you're not immune, then you actually can't fall pregnant, or it's not safe to fall pregnant for a month after the vaccine.
Mm.
So, and we want you to be immune before you fall pregnant to minimize risks to the fetus.
Yep.
And then we would also do an STI screen. So that's blood tests for hepatitis, HIV, chlamydia and gonorrhea, urine tests. And then the additional tests, which can be done depending on your history, but I actually find a lot of people do fit the criteria for these additional tests. So vitamin D, if you have low sun exposure, is, and we have quite high vitamin D deficiency in Australia.
Yeah.
Iron studies, I have many female patients that are iron deficient because they're just, if they're having a regular period and they're not having enough iron intake. B12 and folate as well, depending on your nutritional intake. And then thyroid function is another one that's usually done if you're over 30 or if there's any history of autoimmune conditions. So those would be all the blood tests we would do. And then obviously the other big one is the preconception genetic carrier screening.
Yeah.
Which is now really, the College of General Practitioners and the College of Obstetricians encourage all GPs to offer this test to couples that are planning a pregnancy. And it's basically allowing us to pick up if you're a silent carrier for any diseases, and if you and your partner are both silent carriers for the same disease, then your child is at significantly higher risk of being born with these conditions. So, I mean, we could talk about that forever.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of information on that, and it can be quite overwhelming and confusing when you first hear about it. Mm-hmm. And it's a big mouthful, like preconception genetic carrier screening. but I think it's really important you understand it really well before you make the decision of whether or not you want to do it. Because I do think it's a really wonderful test, and Rachel Casella has been amazing in advocating for increased funding for this test with Mackenzie's mission.
Yep.
And Mackenzie was her daughter that really sadly passed away at 7 months from spinal muscular atrophy. So she's really raised so much awareness, and there is now increased funding for this test to be done as of next year, I believe.
Yeah. I think that's where seeing your GP early can,
yes,
as probably any listeners have heard in the last, you know, 5 minutes, is there's lots that we can look at that can set you up for a healthy pregnancy that we can really get to know. I love that you test the vitamin D and the iron, because they are two things that can take a while to build your levels back up again. It's not like a folate supplement even that you can take and your levels are up tomorrow. It can take a while to build up. So getting these done nice and early so that by the time you fall pregnant, I like to say, I like my patients tank full when they go into pregnancy. We want a nice full tank to fuel that pregnancy. And we also want to help with that preconception care and that, obviously, that egg and sperm health and development along the way as well.
Exactly. And iron is so important because of the dilution that occurs with the hemoglobin in pregnancy and obviously when breastfeeding and things. So I really do like the iron to be a good level as well.
It's hard to fill the tank once you're pregnant, I find, because you're already losing so much. Your baby takes as much as it needs, I always say. It'll leach calcium out of your bones if it needs to, because it just takes, but it does leave you quite depleted unless you have that full tank available to fuel your baby and also to keep yourself really well and healthy through the pregnancy. I think it's really important.
Yes, I agree. And not to mention when you are in the first trimester, you might only feel like eating hot chips the whole time. So it's good if you can really optimize your nutrition before pregnancy, because, that nausea can be really awful.
Yeah, and it can make a difference. If you've got your levels really well, you've got those nice reserves to draw from. If you're already depleted and then you're really struggling to eat, then that definitely can cause some problems. So understanding those basic preconception tests, and these tests are for anyone looking to fall pregnant. So these are tests, you know, not necessarily struggling. You're looking to fall pregnant in the next 3 to 6 months. Ideally, speak to someone like Ali, a good GP who can just give a good workup and see where your levels are, do a medication review and set you on the right path. Now, if we've got other people out listening that may be struggling, may have been trying for 6 months, 12 months, what sort of additional testing do you, or would you look at then for them if they have sort of done the basics but they're still struggling from there?
Yeah, so I think it's really important to know that for those who are under 35, the general recommendation is that you try for 12 months, and if you don't have any luck, then you should have an assessment to try and investigate what the underlying cause is. And if you're over 35, the recommendation is to try for 6 months and then have an assessment. But I think it's really important to caveat that with the fact that if you are having any abnormal symptoms, like if you don't have a regular period, or if you've got extremely painful periods, or if you have a family history of any fertility issues, I think it's really important to know that you can have additional testing or an assessment with a fertility specialist or your GP at any time along your journey. And that might even be before you even start trying, if there is a history of a condition, or if you have any concerns with how your cycle is, you can go and see your GP and have a referral to a fertility specialist for a fertility assessment before you even start trying. So you don't have to just try for the 12 months. And I would discourage you from doing that if you don't have a regular cycle, because it will be a lot harder. So I think go and chat to your GP if you're worried or concerned or have questions. I think that's really important. But back to your question, Tasha, about the investigations.
Yeah.
There is a lot of tests that we can do, and we would routinely start off with, for the male partner, we would do a semen analysis. And if that was normal, that is often the only test we would do for that for now. And then if it's abnormal, we would do, we would repeat the semen analysis in 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And we would also do some hormonal blood tests as well. And just on the semen analysis, we would recommend that you do it at a andrology lab. So they give you a special like sperm safe lubricant, and that's sort of like the gold standard. So that's the male sort of what we would generally start with. And then for the female, it depends on your history and your symptoms, but we would do reproductive hormones, thyroid function if it hasn't already been done, and the reproductive hormones if we were concerned that you weren't ovulating regularly, we would also we would do blood tests to check that you are ovulating and look for signs of polycystic ovarian syndrome in the blood tests and other things like that. We might also do the AMH blood test, which is a hormone that gives us an estimation of your ovarian reserve, and that's just one piece of the puzzle. So it has been sort of touted as a fertility test, and it is helpful in some ways, but it's one little piece of the puzzle that we would do. And then we would almost always do an internal pelvic ultrasound, which we can have a look at the anatomy of your ovaries, uterus, see if there's any polyps or fibroids or anything like that. Sometimes you can even see signs of endometriosis on an ultrasound if they're very obvious. But so the pelvic ultrasound is great, and you can also do a follicle count. So having a sort of another way of checking your egg number as well, with that works well with the AMH. And then depending on if you're, then there's obviously the test for tubal patency, which to check your fallopian tubes aren't blocked. But that's a more second line test, and we'd obviously like to see those initial tests what those were like first, and then we would discuss whether that was kind of appropriate or if we'd, wait and see a specialist and get their opinion first.
Yep.
So obviously the male is, we need to do the semen analysis first line as well.
And I love that you get that up front too, because I think I've had couples come to, I don't know about you, but who, they've been trying for a couple of years even, and has anything been tested in the man? And unfortunately it hasn't. And it does make a big difference. As you said initially, I did a podcast with Professor Adam Watkins, who's done some great research into the fact that exactly as you said, the male sperm, it's not just a DNA carrier. It affects chances of conception, obviously, but it affects the health of pregnancy. It affects miscarriage rate. It affects the long-term health of your future baby. So it's not just about, you feeling okay and I must be fine. It's really looking at getting that optimal DNA that we were talking about. So getting him tested early is always helpful.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I think it's also tricky, because we often, we do the preconception health check for the female partner, but the male partner often isn't involved in that. And I think, we need to raise awareness that the male partner's health is just as important as the female partner's. And also, I'm finding I chat to a lot of couples where there is actually issues with sexual function as well, with libido and those types of things, which obviously impact your ability to fall pregnant And, you know, unless you ask, often that's not volunteered. So I think it really does need to be a couple assessment from the beginning.
And it's important to, I guess, have the space to open that discussion too, because I do find that a lot in patients who, especially who've been trying for a while, it's become such a goal and such a mission that even the act of trying for a baby is hard because it's become a chore instead of the enjoyable act it once was, just about having fun and enjoying each other. It's now become this goal and this mission. So there are ways we can help with that and support you through that and know that you're not alone. I have often people be, this is, by the way, this is, it's very so common.
Yes. So like more often than not that I see that when I ask and so I definitely think that's one of the challenges of infertility is it really does become all consuming and it's just not fun. And also, you know, affects your mental health and that affects libido and all of that. So I think, it's really important to open that discussion.
Yeah, because we want you to, I always say, I want you to get pregnant, obviously, but I want you to have a healthy preconception, healthy pregnancy and healthy, happy family afterwards. You want to set yourself up, emotional health, mental health, yourselves as a couple. All those things are really important to creating, which is what we're trying to do, is create families. We're not just having a baby. That's part of it, but we're creating a happy, healthy family, ideally, at the other end of this. So, all of those things come into play and I think are really important.
Yes, I agree.
So I think hopefully we've got across to people the importance of a GP. And I think it is also important to get a GP who you feel comfortable with, who you feel comfortable having these discussions with, because it is such a personal topic and personal journey. But there's a lot of investigations that a GP can help you with straight up. I guess before the need to go to a fertility specialist necessarily, I think a lot of people think, okay, if I'm not getting pregnant, that's the next step. And my GP's the referral base. From what I deal with, a lot of the lovely GPs, there's a lot we can do together. I can support their nutrition once we've seen the bloods and there's a lot we can do before needing to go down that path. And when you do need to go down that path, at least we know you're in a really great space.
Yes.
To do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And seeing a fertility specialist, like if you're referred to a fertility specialist, that doesn't mean you're doing IVF.
Yes.
It's say, you know, you're having an assessment of your fertility and the goal is, you know, to get you pregnant in the quickest, safest, most non-invasive means possible. Yeah. So there's just so many steps along the way that is not IVF.
Absolutely. And a lot of investigations that can be done. And once we have the answers, we can find solutions. So yes, even that referral is not necessarily a slippery slope to IVF. It's just that next step to find out what's happening for both of you and hopefully overcoming those challenges, as you said, in the quickest possible manner to get you that healthy pregnancy as soon as you can.
Yeah, exactly.
So thank you so much for taking the time to go through all these tests, which I think are really important and, as I said, really fundamental to setting the couple up to creating a healthy pregnancy and a healthy baby. What would you really like to leave people with after this discussion for them to really understand from what we've spoken about?
So absolutely, it's never too early to start discussing family planning with your GP. Never too early to start that discussion. Also, preconception health is both partners need to be involved with that because there's so much, as you just mentioned, that can be optimized to have a healthy child. And also, as just make sure that, you know, you don't need to be trying for 12 months to ask questions, and even if it's just reassurance, that can go a long way as well. So even, you know, just having a chat just to make sure that you're on the right track, make sure you know how to track your cycle, just little things. You know, it's never too early to have that discussion either.
I love that we're ending on that because I absolutely agree. And I love seeing patients nice and early too. You know, I unfortunately get a lot of referrals from IVF clinics, which is wonderful. And I love obviously helping those couples towards their healthy pregnancies. But I love couples that come to me really early on. They just say, okay, we want to get all our nutrition. We want to get all our lifestyle. I love working with a GP to get some testing done. There's often other nutritional tests that I get as a naturopath, if you do need them, can order so that I can, you know, get to know your situation. But the fundamental tests from your GP are really something that we should be getting straight up, straight away to make sure that you're on the right path.
Thanks, Tasha.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for joining me today. I hope you've got some really great insights and some good information to help you with your next steps in your fertility journey. Bye for now.
Bye. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Conceive Baby podcast. To help you move forward on your journey to pregnancy, I've created your free fertility checklist for you. This checklist provides simple swaps you can make that can have a significant impact on your chances of conceiving and carrying your healthy baby. So be sure to head to conceivebaby.com.au/checklist to download your free fertility checklist today.